everybody. Welcome to a brand new episode of Not Aspirational with Hannah Brown. I'm your host, Hannah Brown. Welcome back. So I said this podcast was about being human, and I think these past couple weeks illuminated what that really means and really shed light on the fact that the human experience is very different depending on the color of your skin. And I was also thinking, like, who am I to sit around and judge what the other Hannah Brown does with her platform of 2.8 million when I continue to sit here and do next to nothing with my platform of 2,000? So I want to speak to everything that's going on in the world right now, and I want to speak to the Black Lives Matter movement. So, as you all know, pop culture has always been and will always be my safe space and my favorite escape. But what I've learned these past couple weeks is that escaping sometimes isn't possible, and it shouldn't be possible for me as a white person. And the downtime in quarantine gave me lots of time for self-reflection, and I recently started confronting my privilege, my whiteness, and times when I've been tone deaf or passive. And for so long, I realized I thought that because I knew in my heart what I believed and that I, quote, wasn't racist, that that was enough. And all this time to reflect with myself and obviously the recent events, everything that's going on in the world, I realized that that is absolutely not enough. And I have a lot of work to do. And once I'd confronted that, I realized that, like, while there were feelings of guilt and shame around that, there really wasn't time to play my tiny violin and feel bad for myself because the work had to start immediately. So first, I want to say this. To Black listeners and friends out there, to the Black community, I know that I will never know what it feels like to be Black. But I want to let you all know that I support you. And I stand by you now, and I stand by you always. To my white listeners and friends out there, I will say this. Also, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. The learning is never done. But here's some of the stuff, just some thoughts I put down as I've been reflecting these past couple weeks. First thing is, we have to start with ourselves. And we have to know that confronting the tough shit is going to feel icky and uncomfortable and bad. And that's actually good because it means that change is starting. And we are so long overdue for change in this country and within ourselves. I'm going to speak for myself. Within myself, I'm long overdue for change. And from there, we got to research the history of what it means to be Black in this country. And we have to expose ourselves to perspectives of people of color. And we also have to actively help, right? Like, it's not enough to not be racist. We have to actively be anti-racist. And that can be in so many different types of ways: donating, making phone calls, sending emails, protesting, calling out racism in your own house, in like your family and your social circles as it happens, supporting Black businesses. I mean, the list goes on and on. And also, we don't need to fucking post about it, y'all. Let's just do it. Let's just do the work. Also, I had to realize and like reconcile with the fact that I'm going to fuck up while I try to be a better white person. It's inevitable. And when that inevitably happens and a person of color calls me out, I have got to shut the fuck up and listen and then thank that person for taking the time to educate me when that person shouldn't have to begin with. Also, when November comes, we gotta vote. Like, if these last couple weeks have taught me anything, it's that when white people speak the fuck up and really get behind the Black community and we all work together, we really can create change. And as I was saying, we are so long overdue for change. So when November comes, vote. And up until then and forever after, we gotta keep working. I'm pretty much gonna leave it there. I just wanna say that just remember that we can influence change in numbers. And if we all really do the work as white people and we show up as allies, then this can end. And I digested a lot of everything I just said with my white friends who are feeling similar feelings. So do not put any burden on your black friends, but in your white friendships, work together and make it a safe space for you to grow. Have the tough conversations and let's all together continue to get better. And again, to black listeners and friends out there, I'm thinking of you all and I'm sending you so much love, and I stand with you now and I stand with you always. Also, before we get to the Bravo of it all, I want to let you all know that proceeds from this next coming month of my Patreon will be donated to Black Lives Matter. So if you're interested, head on over to patreon.com/notaspirational, and just $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus episodes, but everything this next month will be donated to Black Lives Matter. So head on over if you're interested. And also, the musician behind my rad new intro music is a black musician, my friend Justice Hill. So follow him on Instagram at Justice Hill. He has so much amazing music out there, and I know y'all are going to love it. All right, without further ado, let's get to Bravo. This week, I was joined by Jake. So my special Bravo correspondent, my boyfriend Jake, joined me to unpack VPR, Beverly Hills, and Roni. 2 weeks worth of content for both. So I'm not going to lie, by the end, I was tired and a little bit cranky. So enjoy that. But yeah, without further ado, let's get into it. Okay, so we've tried to record this intro 3 times and now I'm annoyed. Can't wait to see what content this creates. To join me in talking... Shut up. To join me in talking Vanderpump Rules, we have my boyfriend and roommate, Jake Relic.
Hi.
I want to let you guys know that the last 2 times we recorded that, when I said roommate, he said co-host over me. It was like this. We have my boyfriend and roommate. You were supposed to do it so they can understand what you did.
You got annoyed with it the first 2 times. So why would I do it?
No, I thought it was funny the first time. And then the second, this is the 4th time we've done this intro. Oh, God. Okay. So I really couldn't talk about Vanderpump Rules by myself. I really needed some help. I honestly need help talking about Bravo at all right now, because it does seem, you know, like small potatoes. And frankly, some of the shows are kind of boring. So I needed you to help me pull me out of my doldrums and talk about this. Before we get into the reunion, I am a week behind. So I wanted to ask you, I wanted to touch on a couple moments from Secrets Revealed and get your thoughts.
Okay.
So we got, first of all, hi, thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
We got a scene with the Bubbas having a house date. And... You wonder why I'm annoyed. I'm serious. You're really annoying me. We got a scene with the Bubba's house date, and Schwartz like was gonna cook for her, and then he ordered backup fried chicken in case his cooking sucked. And I just kind of want to know like what you thought of that scene, because then basically it ended with like him like putting whipped cream in his mouth, getting the like sweats and the shits from the fried chicken that he ate instead of what he actually made. And then Katie being like, want to go to bed and look at our phones? And he's like, that's all I want, baby.
It's a good what not to do.
Yeah.
That's really all I got out of that.
Yeah. I mean, my thoughts were, first of all, he's like, well, you know, we haven't had a lot of romance in the house. And like, that's fair. Like, I know it's hard to keep things romantic 100% of the time. If you're not confident enough in your cooking skills, why don't you just pull a Mrs. Doubtfire, order the food right away, put it on a plate, and be like, look, baby.
Well, the food that he made was good. Like, she even liked it. And mm-hmm. he just started eating the backup food, which was, it wasn't fried chicken. It was hot chicken from, like, Hot Chicken on Ventura.
That's why he was like,
oh my god, water. Oh, and then he got the whipped cream because
to cut the heat from the chicken. I did not put
he's
that
not
together
that dumb, but he's like, he still went for the fried hot chicken because
I see. Have you ever had chicken from there?
No, but I've heard it's really hot.
Really hot?
Yeah.
Also, we had that scene where Jax and Brittany were talking about having a baby. And Jack's like, you can't leave us alone with our kid. What are you? I mean, I'm not saying you're going to be a single mom, but you're kind of going to be a single mom. Brady's like, what do you think? I'm just going to be with the baby all the time. And he's like, we're going to be pretty close to a single mom. What did you think of that scene?
It was bad. I mean,
bone chilling.
He's terrible, just person. He's just an idiot. Like I have the same thoughts every time I see him of shut up and just.
Do you know
move
that song by Natalie Imbruglia? That's like, I'm all out of faith. This is how I feel. I'm cold, naked on the floor.
That's basically what I feel.
That's how I feel every time Jackson and Brittany are on my TV. I'm like, I'm out of hatred for both of you. Like, I don't have anything left to give. Although the reunion gave me more, so.
More venom.
Also, Brittany goes to the doctor and she's mystified about what the fuck is going on with her stomach when it's literally been a 3-season arc of doctors telling her to just stop drinking alcohol and then her being like, okay, mm-hmm, and then being like, well, I'm about to go to Mexico, so how am I supposed not
to
drink?
I'm going to Vegas.
I'm going to Vegas. I'm like, what? Like, I'm happy that this didn't actually make it into like the show, but I'm even mad that it was made, that it made it into the secrets revealed, because I'm like, why is this an arc? Like, Brittany being dumb is a tale as old as time, true as it can be.
Is she dumb or does she have to drink because she's with Jax?
She's choosing to be with Jax.
I know, but she chooses to be with Jax, which allows her to drink. It's a circle. It's all a circle.
Like, she's dumb to be with Jax, but then to be with Jax, she has to drink. But
she enjoys it drinking, so she knows that if she's with Jax, then she gets to drink, which is dumb.
It's just a circular thing. I also liked that we got a scene with Stassi and Sheena, but I would argue that the most explosive scene we got in Secrets Revealed was what happened with Charlie and Dana over some silverware. Yeah, the argument they got in over rolling silverware and, yeah, over pasta.
I mean, it was over pasta.
But I'm saying they were physically arguing over the table.
Yes, while they were. Yeah, that makes it.
Yeah, so normally I'm a Charlie stan, but I will say the body shaming and the age shaming was not a cute look. And like, I do love Dana too, like on a personal level.
Well, I think clearly Charlie is jealous of Dana and her, I would say it's looks, but also the fact that she's gotten two guys on the show. And I think that she's probably gotten more screen time.
Yeah.
So I understand that. But then Dana comes at it from this like condescending, like, so you're fat shaming me, so you're saying, and Dana's like, no, I just think that pasta,
you mean Charlie,
whatever her name is, Charlie, is like, I just think that pasta makes people fat, which isn't that.
But then when Charlie was like, what'd she say? She was like, both of your lips have been open since you touched down from Portland. And then Dana's like, I'm from Seattle. Yeah. Fuck you. And then Charlie's like, and who cares? And you're 30 and you're working at a restaurant still. So get the fuck over yourself. Bye, dumb whores. Broke that. You can clean that up, Dana. Go be the peasant you are.
Is it Danica? Is that the girl?
Danica's the manager.
Yeah. But she's a manager and she's just letting them argue in front of each other. And then one of her employees breaks a glass and just gets to walk out
Literally walk home and then be like, Dana, you clean that up like the peasant you are. I know, it's wild. You know what I also thought was wild? My big takeaway from this moment was, how did the employees not know that the special was pan-roasted Chilean sea bass? Because there has literally never been another special at Sur since the dawn of time. It's literally the only special there's ever been.
I don't know.
With like a plum sauce. Have you ever had a plum sauce? I was curious what that tasted like.
It's like I think it's like a winey, sweetie, like it's like a jam type sauce.
Oh, okay.
Like jammy style.
Honestly, I'm interested in how that dish tastes.
With what?
Pan-roasted Chilean sea bass.
So sea bass.
Yeah, pan-roasted Chilean, the pan-roasted Chilean kind. Yeah. Okay, also.
So fish and jelly. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, let's get into the reunion, though. That's where the real...
Yeah, that was...
What did you think of the reunion? Let's start there.
It was fun.
I think we slogged through this season.
Yeah.
And I feel like this reunion is the gift that we've all earned and we deserve.
Here's my take. I mean, I was watching it and I was thinking, like, a thought crossed my mind of, they don't like each other. Like, none of them really enjoy being around each other.
I think there's like a cult within the cast. I think it's like Lala, Stassi, yeah. Jax, Brittany.
But they're all, and I'm not trying to be like, I'm not trying to like, you know, take it down to strictly it's a paycheck. But yeah. like, I do think that there is, there's a bit of like, we don't like, because I don't think that Lala really likes Katie and Stassi. I think that she knows that if she's in their inner circle, it's a little easier for her and she can, you know, pick apart, like, get on their bandwagon of drama.
Yeah, that's why she ditched Tom and Ariana the second the rest of the group decided they liked
fake
her, which
tears,
was,
by the way, I am calling fake for sure. fucking tears.
Lala loves to like cry and be vulnerable. And
also, if you
vulnerable in
I was
quotes.
Watching it and it sounds like I have it out for Lala, but I don't.
She
really,
sucked this season,
but she did suck this season. But the thing is that like, if you watch it, she talked a lot more than they showed. Like, there are clear parts where like they edit her, like they finish her sentence.
In the reunion specifically.
Yeah.
I mean, I also think it's like kind of convenient that like right around when she became friends with the OGs was right around the time she had access to a PJ the whole time, which I, you know, like all the time, I mean.
To a what?
Private jet.
Oh, got it.
As she refers to it as the PJ. But I mean, like, and I know that's not like a new take. Like, it's a very obvious correlation that like the second she became like BFFs with Katie and Stassi.
You mean Katie and Stassi wanted to be friends with someone with a private jet?
Yeah.
You mean they only care about money?
Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What?
I know.
Wow.
I know it.
Wow.
Who do you think had the best reunion look? Let's do a best dress for male and female.
Tom Sandoval.
Okay, and female?
I did like Lala's. Mm. I also liked Ariana's. The thing about Lala and Ariana, mm-hmm. they both sat far enough away from the camera that it's like, you can see
my pretty
like,
outfit.
Like,
yeah.
And Tom was sitting next to Ariana. Everybody else was like,
He's pointing at like his sternum, like right under his breastbone. I would say the bottom of the breastbone.
Yeah, it's a
like,
close up. They were all doing close ups, and like, everybody else was doing what they call cowboys,
uh-huh.
which is where you can see their like a cowboy who sits on a horse. You mm-hmm. can see their butt to their yes.
Whereas the other people were doing like a quarter shot.
Yes, they were doing a close up.
Industries.
Yes, industry you're welcome. Terms. That's from being on set, everyone.
Remember when we first started dating, I'd be like, it's really fucking annoying.
It's really annoying when you're telling that you, I know, I get it. I know that you're in it.
Yeah, because every time I would bring up an actor, he'd be like, oh, I worked with, he'd push up his glasses. I worked with them on a project.
I wore my glasses like four times in front of you.
He'd be like, oh, I worked with them. They were actually really cool. I'm like, oh, are you just friends with everyone I've ever wanted to work with? And the answer is kind of,
yeah. Or friends with their husbands.
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
Anyway, you know I'm going to get DMs being like, who does Jake know? And I'll probably tell them. Anyways. let's see. Okay.
Only tell them if they can give you a job.
My best dressed is Katie. I think Katie looked beautiful.
Katie had a whole good glam
going. It all worked.
She just didn't. She wasn't overdone. Sorry, I'll let you finish. This is your
fucking computer. You guys, every time you hear a boo-doo-doo in the background, it's because my fucking computer.
I've tried.
I downloaded some shitty software to clean my Mac, and it's never been able to go away. And it does that noise every 15 minutes. Anyways, I think Katie, the thing with Katie and her glam is like she has very striking features. She has these like beautiful, full, like angular eyebrows. She has these like big brown eyes and long hair. And I just feel like less is more. Like she's so just like soft and beautiful on her own that like when she does like an aggressive, and she also doesn't know when to say when because she'll do like a red lip with a smoky eye with a statement eyebrow. And I'm just like, ugh. But she looked so like glowy and just like dewy, and her dress was really unique and cool. I just thought she looked great. And then best dressed is Sandoval for men.
Okay, worst dressed.
Ooh, you're mean.
Yeah.
Worst dressed.
Just in general. We don't even have to like.
We don't have to delineate between genders. Oh, that's really hard.
If you take mine, I'm going to be very mad.
Honestly, I'm going to say Brittany.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because here's what sucks. It's like, I actually don't hate the dress. I fucking hated what she did with her makeup and her hair.
Okay.
I thought it took away. I think she's pretty. I think it just took away from everything. What are you going
to
say?
Stassi. She was wearing a napkin, sitting down to have a bowl of spaghetti in the back with like a she had a candle in a bottle of like an empty
a bottle of Chianti.
Like she was it looked like a fucking napkin.
She like went to La Pergoletta to have like a Friday night special. She wore her napkin blouse and then just went to town on some pasta.
Yeah. Thank you.
And Charlie was not present for that because she doesn't believe in pasta.
Yes.
fair. I also, okay, so I want to really just, we're just going to hit like the biggest beats.
Yeah, because there was a lot of filler. But yeah, like, a lot of like,
okay, first of all, I want to say before we get into it, a highlight for me was when James made an unnecessary joke about Sheena and Brock arguing over pancake fruit. He's like, there was one time you were making pancakes in the morning. You said, I want the blueberries. I want the strawberries. Oh my God, it was so funny. And everyone's just like, okay. Ow. I just Hillary Duffed the microphone. My tooth, my veneer hit the microphone.
That's funny.
I was like, I love James for the comedic relief about pancake fruit. I want to ask, first of all, what were your thoughts on the big reveal that Max fucked Dodie twice?
Girl can fuck. Girl fucks.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I thought James and Sheena's reactions were the best. I don't like how James like shamed Dodie, but I thought him just being like, oh, and laughing like a little schoolboy. And then Sheena being like, this is so funny, was great. She had a great attitude about it. She's a team player.
Your listeners are going to think that I hate Stassi and they're not going to be fully incorrect.
Okay.
I hated the fact that she was screaming at her. Mm-hmm. And the thing is like, dude, you're yelling at her for sleeping with, quote, her friend's ex or whatever, or they slept together. I don't know what the timeline mm-hmm. is. But the thing is, Dana slept with...
Sheena's ex.
Not just Sheena's ex, but the guy. The two guys are best friends. Like,
oh, yeah.
That was like a storyline in the
season. Well, I don't
think
she ever actually had sex with Brett, but
whatever.
Yeah. But she went for Brett.
She went for him.
Yeah.
Openly.
Right. Yeah, well, I had a lot of issues with this. First of all, I think, and this is my theory, you guys, that Stassi specifically is deeply annoyed by the fact that men are sexually very attracted to Dodie. Maybe they don't want to date her, but everyone wants to fuck Dodie.
Do you think it's because Jax and her hooked up, like Jax cheated on...
Oh, for sure. Stassi never got over that. And honestly, I don't know that I would have been able to either.
Yeah.
Like,
which
I understand
is fair,
why that rocked the world. But I think there's something about Kristen, like, I have a theory that she just like is so fucking unhinged in bed, just like fucking goes for yeah. it. Like things come down from the ceiling. She just holsters in and fucking rocks your world.
Her little revamped Valley Village house.
Yes,
there's just like the roof opens up and
it's
just
like a 50
like,
Shades of Grey. Yeah, yeah. Like shit comes down from the ceiling and she just like rocks your world. I think like I don't know that Stassi does that level of, you know, circus performance.
What did you say yesterday?
No, I said I just don't think she's as like crazy in bed, which yeah. is fine. I also like I don't like this expectation that you have to be like crazy in bed to like, you know, make your man happy. But, you know, I think Kristen is probably sexually gifted. I think there's like a common denominator in these stories and it is Dodie and her vagina.
Well, she's also not like an unattractive girl.
Yeah, Kristen's hot.
As a guy, when I was single, like if a girl that wasn't unattractive was willing to sleep with me,
you were down.
I was down if I recognized that she was willing to sleep with me, because a lot of times I thought all girls never wanted to sleep with me.
So you were like, oh shit, you're
like, oh,
down
you
to
like
clown.
You want to, you're being like, I think that Dodie is probably very
forward.
Yeah
I think she's yeah. like, let's go, and
she's
let's...
like, hey, I'm coming over because you're closest and we're gonna fuck.
Yeah,
like that's what she's
like, okay.
Max is like, fine.
Well, the other thing that bothers me is no, Max just sat there in like a stupor.
No
the
one gave a
time.
Shit about
no one
him
said shit to Max, and I did feel bad for Dana because she looked really upset, and
she did,
and she looked very shocked. But I was like, where is the public dragging of Max? And also like you said,
it's not gonna happen because he's like, dude.
Yeah. And also like I worked in a restaurant where like everyone fucked everyone, and I yeah, and I'm not gonna get into it, but like it gets tricky because it's like, since when were Dana and Kristen BFFs? Were they BFFs or were they coworkers? Like, what's the delineation between when a guy's fair game or not?
Were they on a show together and they were filming
and
at two of Kristen's events?
Well, that's the thing.
Her birthday and her shirt thing. And like, her other friends weren't fucking showing up. And Dana was like, hey, I'm going to show up to this because, you know, we're on a show together and like the cameras are there and I have to go. Like, so yeah, Kristen's going to be like, hi.
Yeah. Hi. Oh, you look so cute. Yeah. I didn't know that they were like BFFs. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that's a slippery slope. Like, when do you delineate like when a dude's fair game or not? But I also am like, I think Kristen got raked across the coals and nothing happened to Max. And that was fucking annoying. And then Stassi's like, honestly, leave it to Stassi to somehow still make this about her.
Katie knew because Katie didn't say a fucking word.
I think Katie probably knew and didn't give a shit.
That's what I'm saying,
Katie's
though.
Katie's insanely chill. She's like low-key becoming one of my favorites.
I love that she was like, I'm not going to Brittany and Jax's pool party because fuck them.
Like, yeah, she's like, I'm not going. Sorry.
Anyway.
Also, Stassi kind of made this about her by being like, I have been truly shaken up by this. Literally, it is so fucking on brand for you, Kristen, to act like you were so close with Dana and then to go fuck him. And you're a liar. And then Jody's like, shut your fucking mouth, Schroeder. Okay, yeah. Schroeder. And every time she said Schroeder, I just thought of Schroeder from Charlie Brown. So I just pictured Schroeder from Charlie Brown with his little piano.
I don't know who Schroeder is.
He's this little kid. You never watched Charlie Brown?
I do, but I only know like Linus.
He's the cute little one with the piano.
Oh, that's Schroeder?
Yeah.
He was like,
shut your
one.
Fucking mouth, Schroeder. So let's see. Oh, and then Stassi's like, Andy and Sheena both looked like confused and perplexed by Stassi's reaction. And then Stassi's like, that's why no one trusts you. And Sheena's like, I trust Kristen. And Kermit. Trust Kristen.
It's also kind of Schmeagle-y.
Yeah. My precious. And then Stassi's like, of course you do, Sheena. And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? Where do you stand on the Jackson Charlie drama? Know your role, sweetie.
I mean, I'm always going to take not Jax's side.
Fair.
He also didn't really start piling on to her until like other people were like, hey, you need to like, and then he was like, oh, I get to be aggressive. Like
right.
He literally was kind of docile. Like he was just kind of like, okay, all right. Yeah. Okay. And then someone was like, you know, Charlie,
Kristen was like, Charlie, you have to calm your tits, girl. And Lyle's like, know your role, sweetie.
Yeah.
You get to
and
come
then,
in.
And then Jax was like, okay, blah, 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 you know.
And Charlie's like, my name is Charlie Burnett, and who the fuck are you? I lived for
and
her
you
this
were
reason.
Talking about me on Twitter yesterday.
I don't know this 50-year-old man.
Yeah.
She age shames the shit out of him.
She also has good little lines.
She does.
Like, she does, but she just doesn't have the community to say them. Like, she doesn't have the backing yet.
No, but I love her for being like, I don't give a fuck I have the backing, because I am Charlie motherfucking
she
Burnett.
She can't read a room. Though that's the thing
no like, but that's why she needs to come back time and time again. She's like, who the fuck are you? I don't even know this
old man. I didn't
know
that Danica was new. She acted like she'd been on this show for like a year.
Yeah, she's like, hey guys, let's roll some silverware. I have this breathalyzer in my car. It's so funny. And then Jax is like, Jax gets really upset about the cheesecake and the pasta. You eat cheesecake, but you don't eat pasta. I was like, hey Jax, you use cross emojis, but you're a terrible fucking person. Riddle me fucking that. One of these things is not like the other.
Yeah.
Also, then Brittany with her fucking smug face acting like she earned her place in this group is a joke. I was like, no one ever gave a fucking shit about Brittany because she was sweet and southern and non-threatening to all of them.
I have one thing to say about Jax and Brittany, and I think that we'll probably get there. But
say it.
When they start talking about the pastor thing, Jax always says like, it's her, it's my wife's pastor, it's not mine.
Throws her
under
the bus.
He always puts on her, he uses you and I, he uses those pronouns, and she uses we. She's like, when they were cutting to commercial, she's like, she was trying to yell back at Tom at one point, like, oh, they're trying to make us look bad again.
Why are you trying to make us look bad again?
When they were specifically talking to Jax.
Right.
Like
right. No, in Jax's mind, they are not a unified
group. No, not at all.
They're not a united front. It's like
she's a single mother and he just lives there and she makes him a turkey sandwich.
Oh, also, I wanted to bring up, there's a rumor circulating on the dark web that Kristen Doty has threesomes with Jackson Brittany. Do you believe it or not?
If it's true, the cast knows it because you can watch them react to her defending Jax or Brittany, and people are like, dude, like, you're feeding into what, like, chill. It's like when you see your friend who has a crush on someone say something nice about them or like defend them
or like bring them up out of right nowhere.
and it's like dude, chill, like you're at a 10, you need to be at like a 5.
Oh my god, when Andy's like, hey, like, what's this facial hair you got, Jax? And Kristen's like, it's the Wolverine.
Exactly. And people are like,
okay, why are you talking? I 100% believe it, 1000%. Like, if we're going back to the whole theory that Kristen Doty is sexual kryptonite, and the fact that she one time chowed down on Kentucky muffin, then if we're hearkening back to that, then like I 100% think that like Doty is a safe space for Jax to like have his Britney and eat it too. That sounds gross. Have his cake and eat it too. You know what I mean? By like, he's still fucking other women, but it's their friend, and like Britney can get off with her like, too.
She's kind of single, and also like.
And like Brittany and her are super close.
What if they're
like
not what if they're not having threesomes and it's just like a thruple situation, like
Kristen's just emotionally dependent like on both of them?
It's like sister wives, kind of.
I don't know. It like sucks because like I really want to defend Doty, but like her allegiance to Jax and Brittany really makes me question like
who else
actually is.
Who else is she supposed to be friends with?
Charlie.
But I'm just saying, like, she's not.
Doty's a lone wolf.
Stassi and Katie are done. She can't actually be friends with Tom and Ariana.
I mean,
on paper, she can't actually be friends with them.
Sure. Yeah, I think they're pretty close at this point, but like, it took them a long time to get there. And at the end of the day, it's like, she still is Sandoval's ex-girlfriend. But she also, at the end of the day,
fucking psycho.
Yeah, I mean, their relationship was a horror show.
And after their relationship...
American Horror Story, Ariana, Tom and
Doty. Ariana, I don't know, they all say it differently. Mm-hmm. Her and Tom, like, the way she treated them when they were together was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to repeat my joke because I think it's funny. American Horror Story, Tom and Doty. American Horror Story, Jax and Brittany, honestly.
Well, American Horror Story. Here's the thing. American Horror Story, Jax and Brittany. Uh-huh. Feud.
Doty and Tom. Feud. Stassi and Doty. The feud of Stassi and Doty.
American Crime Story. Stassi Schroeder.
Yeah. I love murder, so then I murdered everybody.
No, I mean, like, why does she have what she has?
Oh, sure.
That's a crime on America.
Uh-huh.
Guys, I don't hate her because I don't hate anyone.
No.
I strongly dislike...
You're not a fan.
I'm not a fan.
Who are you... Who would you say you're the biggest fan of on this show?
On this show? Ooh. Can we come back to that? Like,
yeah, we'll circle
back.
I need to
think about that.
Yeah, just let that roast. Let that thought roast. Okay, thoughts on, I had to bring this up because it was maybe one of my favorite parts, Raquel's ideal costume. Now, Andy asked, he said, Raquel, what's your ideal costume? And it reminded me of the scene in Miss Congeniality where he goes, what's your ideal date? And she goes, I'd say April 24th because it's not too hot, not too cold. All you need is a light jacket. So Raquel answers and she goes, when I was growing up, I always had fairy garden parties. So a fairy garden party costume is my favorite costume.
What's a fairy garden?
What's a fairy garden party? I'm like, is this like a themed party? Like, because like I love a fairy moment. Like, I grew up loving Ferngully. Like, so if Fairy Garden was like a TV show I didn't know about, someone correct me, but I don't think it was. Is it like,
I don't know.
And then we got this sweet little
fairy garden. And there's no way that she's that much older than us.
No. Yeah. And no, I think she's a little bit younger. I think she's like 26. But then we got this sweet little like PowerPoint presentation of Raquel and her fairy garden costumes, which are really just like variations of like ballerina outfits and like princess outfits. She had a cute little bob with bangs. And like baby Raquel just warmed my heart center. She was so sweet.
She was so sweet. She still is so
we
sweet.
We love Raquel.
She's still baby Raquel.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I love a fairy garden party. I was like, I would love to have a fairy garden party with you, Raquel. Also, thoughts on how Schwartz handled the discussion of how he spoke to Katie in that really fucked up scene.
He needed to take Lala's advice.
And just shut up.
And just shut up. Like, mm-hmm. he was just digging a deeper hole.
Mm-hmm.
And then Katie had to, because Katie was prepared to not say anything. She was just going to let him talk and somebody tell him to shut up and then it would be over and everybody would move on. But she was, then she had to say, look, I don't want to normalize this. It's not the first time it's happened and it needs to not happen. But like, I don't even know what she said.
Exactly. She was like, I would murder him if this was a thing that happened all the time.
But she did say it wasn't the first time it happened.
I'm like, blink twice if you're safe, Katie.
Yeah.
Like, wellness check on Katie. Yeah, it was. I wonder if they get like media training for these reunions or at any point. Like, I think it was clear based on how Schwartz handled it that like he had not really prepared what he was going to say, or he did, but he kind of like got flustered and like didn't know how to respond.
Or Schwartz, and they probably sent him like 3 emails saying, hey, we're going to ask you this.
Yeah.
Prepare something.
And then he never did.
And he just like kept seeing them and was like, oh yeah, I gotta do that.
Oh, or yeah,
like,
Bubby.
He's like, or he had to be like, Bubby, what happened?
Bubby,
what did I do?
I was blacked out though. What do you want me to say, Bubba? She's like, Tom, just say something. He's like, oh, okay, Bubby.
Just
yeah,
say
I got
sorry.
It.
Like, apologize you know
that,
to me.
And you know that Katie was like hounding him, being like, Bub. Did
Bub,
you write
did
it?
You write, did you write it?
Down, are you ready? Do you know what you're going to say? I'll practice it with you, Bub. And he's like, no, Bubby, I got it. And then he goes on there and he's like, I mean, I don't even remember saying it. I mean, I said it one time. And it was like kind of a horror show. American Horror Story, Tom Schwartz. I need to let that joke go. There's like a rule of threes that I've already broken, but. Okay, so then we had the Jax and Ariana of it all. What are your thoughts on this? Because Jax just like fucking hates Ariana. The feeling is mutual. Ariana, we love Ariana in this household.
here's the deal. When you as a person dislike someone, you try to make digs at them. When mm-hmm. you're like in an argument, you try to say things that will tear them down.
Right.
He thinks that being any other sexuality, this is a generalization, but I would assume that he thinks that being any other sexuality outside of heterosexual
mm-hmm.
is a bad, wrong, scary thing.
Is something to dig at.
Is something, it's a negative.
Right.
So that's why he's like, I don't care what she is. I just don't like her. But it's like, but you can't, like you're still trying to like make her feel bad by just calling her bisexual or saying that she likes girls. And she's like, yeah. And I've been open about that.
Right.
So like, A, you're just digging a deeper hole.
Right. It's like, what are we talking about?
Yeah. What? Yeah, exactly.
Well, and that's the thing. If you don't like her, don't like her.
Don't like
Call
her.
Call out something about her character that you don't like. Like, why don't you like her? Why do you think he doesn't like her? I have a theory.
I want to hear your theory.
All right.
Because I'm not allowed to say it. No, I'm just kidding.
Don't speak.
Don't speak.
Okay. My theory is that I think he hates Ariana because he thinks she's hot as fuck. And he's mad that she's literally repelled by his existence. Because if we go back a few seasons, he was like, if I could have picked another girlfriend of Tom's to like fuck, it wouldn't have been Dodie. It would have been Ariana. And then she came out in that like little like slutty Von Trapp child uniform in that one episode. And he was like, oh man, she looks so fucking hot. Like, look at her ass. Like, oh man, she's got such a good ass. And I think he's just really pissed that she like thinks he's disgusting
because
and doesn't give him the time of day. And so he like resents that. And so he's like, yeah, well, you're bi. And it's like, and what?
The only person that can get away with looking like Wolverine is Wolverine.
Right. Where do you stand on the Lala versus Tom and Ariana of it all? I guess we kind of already talked about this.
Lala's fake. That's literally all I have to say.
Lala's out for Lala.
I just think that she's fake.
Yeah. I don't think
that she did her own glam. I don't. I think that she did for the sake of COVID. I don't think that she said it for the sake of COVID. I don't think that she did it.
Well, yeah. I don't fully buy it either. I think that she and Stassi are both extremely calculated in how they present themselves to this world. And I think that that's where their friendship stems from. It's just like, I have your back, you have mine. Let's make each other look good. Let's like, we're on the same page here.
They're not, she's not dumb business wise. Like, no. They're not dumb business women, but like,
yeah,
I do think that she's fake.
Okay, so where do you stand on the Jackson Brittany versus Sandoval and like pretty much everyone else over like the pastor and everything?
You mean everyone versus Sandoval?
Right. I mean, yeah.
Because it literally,
no one really said anything.
No one got mad at them about any of this because, quote, it's their wedding. Let's like, we can't bring it up. It's their wedding. We can't bring, if it's, it's their fucking wedding. Who cares? If, it's another guy. It's not another day, but it is another day to everyone else.
If people have to blindly agree with everything I say and do just because I'm getting married, then we're just going to someday get engaged and never get married, because that means people will have to kiss our asses forever. Based on their logic, I
mean. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm like, and what? Also, okay, so if we go back to this whole, like, Jax is like, says homophobic comments about Ariana's bisexuality, then I think that's part of why Tom bringing up the pastor of it all like jolted him. Because if we look at the text messages that he sent to, I believe, Max and Brett about it, he goes, how dare he fucking bring that up on camera? I could have lost everything, was one of the things he wrote.
Oh my God. I didn't see that.
Yes. I looked at it today and I was like, okay, so that right there shows us that you don't give a fuck about the pastor or his homophobia or any of it, because you're homophobic too. And what you're concerned about is your cash flow stopping and your fucking ugly modern farmhouse in Valley Village going away.
Theory.
Yeah.
Do you think that Tom brought it up at the party before they filmed? Like, do you think those shoots of Lisa going up to Ariana at the bar and like those conversations happened after that, to where it was kind of like, hey, we need to diffuse the situation that happened?
Which conversation with Ariana?
Where Lisa goes up to the bar, I reached out to them and I told them to handle it. That was a little bit of a reshoot slash, hey, like Lisa's like, I heard what happened at what's his name's birthday.
Let me try and like diffuse the situation. Like,
we need to set up a filming where like I talk to Ariana about it.
I mean, honestly, I love a Vanderpump Rules conspiracy theory. I'd
rather be conspiracy theorying over Vanderpump
Bravo
Rules
than anything else.
Everything else, yeah, that's going on.
The important things. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Too real. No, I think that that's possible, because Lisa, at the end of the day, like, she needs the show to survive.
They all need the show to survive.
Right, but I'm saying Lisa's at the fucking top of the food chain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They all do, though. So it's kind of like what she said in the reunion, where she's like, if I fired every single one of you when you made a mistake, then none of you would bloody have a job. And it's like, it's true. If she held most of them accountable for some of the shit they've done, they would all be canceled and the show would be canceled. And then a source of her income and fame would go away. So I feel like, yes, it was, of course, in Lisa's best interest to like delicately kind of sidestep the pastor stuff and not bring it up. But it's just, it's so fucking frustrating. Like, I don't know that I can continue to watch this show, like, truly, because it's like, they, you know, they talk about
after this week, basically,
after like after this season.
Well, I'm saying, okay, I was just saying about how the show is and after what has specifically gone on in the world this
week. And then the lack of response from most of the cast members regarding, you know, everything that's been going on regarding the Black community. But yeah, I mean, like, I think the show would go away if most of the cast members were actually held accountable for some of the shit that they've said and done with this platform they've been given. Yeah. And yes, platform they've created with their own horrendous behavior over the course of the last 8-9 years, whatever.
That we have all watched.
That we've all watched. But like, the thing is like, it's a time capsule. Nothing is changing. And the more famous and rich they get, most of them just become worse fucking people. And I'm really like, I cannot watch this show knowing that it's putting money in Jackson Brittany's pocket. I lived for the dragging of Jax Taylor, though. Like, when Brittany was like, this is one of the hardest times in my life. And Jax was like, because of them. And she's like, no, because let me talk.
Let me talk.
And what
would you let me finish?
Would you let me talk? God, they hate each other. The final note I made was like, there's just no accountability in this entire group, because it's very clear, and I've said this before, sorry guys, that like they all, a lot of them agreed off camera that they will fucking protect each other and make each other look good. And that's not how this show works. You can't fucking drag Dodie for fucking Max and then a bunch of y'all don't bring up any of the other shit you've said and done. Like, that's not how this goes. Why do Dodie and Sheena always have to sacrifice themselves to make this shit interesting?
They just lay on that sword.
They do, over and over and over again. And I'm like, where the fuck is everybody else?
I'm excited for next week.
I am excited for next week. I'm not excited for next season, but I'm excited for next week. Do you have any final thoughts? I feel like I've been a chatterbox.
No, I did like Charlie calling out Jax on his bedtime, though.
I think it's about your bedtime, old man.
He walked into that one. Here's what she needs. She needs some improv training. She needs to like be a little bit quicker. Right. I know that it's all on Zoom.
Right.
But like that is one thing that Stassi is really good at just like being over the top right away. Like when she's yelling at Tom in that bar about how fucking dare you? I'm like... You're so performative right now. Yeah. It's crazy, but like this is what the show lives on.
Okay, so yeah, let's talk Beverly Hills. I don't like it. I really don't.
They're making a series arc out of a episode B story that is Denise Richards not wanting to talk about sex in front of her kids, which is, by the way, probably like most Bravo TV moms.
Right. I'm like, this like is, that. It's literally no, that's the thing. I'm like, it's no one's business. I don't understand like what the conversation is.
She's also made it very clear that she's, and they've even like, they gave her the option. Okay. Well, if you don't want us to talk about us, like talk about things like that in front of your kids, don't have them around. And then she shows up somewhere. I know that I'm getting ahead in the episode, but like she does show up somewhere, right, without her kids,
right?
And then they're like, why didn't you bring your kids?
Right. So let's start with last week. So we had this trip to Santa Barbara. I watched this episode twice, couldn't fucking tell you what happened, because the formula for the episode is as follows. There are a few events, and then the episode ends with all of them fucking sitting around a table bickering, but it never like explodes.
They're not bickering. They are vomiting phrases that their therapists have told them or have used with them.
Sure.
There's no fighting.
That's the thing. It never like gets to point of explosion. It's just like, I'm not doing this.
Where's the fucking ravioli?
Yeah, truly. So they go to Santa Barbara last week and let's see. We have like, oh, there was a moment where Kyle was like shading Erica for wearing her like sweatsuits. And she's like, it's like the diet outfits that you wear. And she's referring, I think, to those like heavy like sweatsuits that you can wear at like Shape House and stuff.
Oh, the
baked potato. Yeah. And you like sweat sweating. It out.
It's like the sweatsuit.
Yeah. And Erica's like, oh, is that what you really think? And I'm like, Kyle, that is rich given what your takes on quote style are, because she has some of the worst style on the entire network, in my opinion. Yeah. So pretty much the only note I made last week was like, I really don't get what.
The one single note from last week.
Like, truly. I mean, they're all repetitive. Oh, I did make a note that I would love to go to Santa Barbara and eat oysters and a lobster roll and drink a wine flight.
Well, we did do lobster rolls last weekend.
Yes.
They were.
It was safe, guys. We got them safely, but they were amazing. In the last scene, they're all around the table, right? And this is where the bickering mostly occurs. And you were like, Dorit looks so cute there. You were like, I love when Dorit just kind of like, she had like a beachy wave.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she was in a little like
this
neon.
This was when I was like eating lunch before I was going back into the office. And just like watching and like, oh, she looks,
Yeah. She had a beachy wave and she was in this little like neon orange like top and it looked like a surf outfit, but she did look like a surfer chic.
For once, she didn't look like the evil queen from
Enchanted.
The llama thing. What's the
llama movie? Emperor's New Groove.
Yes.
You think she looks like Yzma?
Yes.
Oh my God,
she just like pulls her hair.
Yeah, it's like the aggressive. She does like a ponytail facelift.
Her eyes can't close.
Yeah. Also, okay, so in this last scene, Dorit was pissed because Kyle said that Dorit wasn't as close to Erica as she thought she was. And Kyle's like, well, you know, in that moment, I was upset because I felt like everyone was coming at me and it felt like everyone was best friends and coming at me. And then your favorite part was when Erica goes, but I don't have any friends, remember? That's what you said to me before, that I don't have any friends. And Denise is like, well, what happened? And then Erica's like, no, I too have anxiety. That's not what I was saying. I hope that all my listeners are responding the same way. That's not what I was saying. I was making that point to go to Dorit's point of a package deal. I'm not coming at you. I'm being honest. I was being honest about why I agree with the package deal. And Teddy's like, well, you two are close, but when you bring me into the conversation, you consistently shade me. And I want you to know that I know there's something between you and Kyle that you need to work out, but I don't need to be shaded in a friendship situation when it really doesn't involve me. It's something you've got to work through. And then, what?
Your Teddy sounds like your dad a little bit. Like, sounds really, like your dad.
I place
like
emphasis on the dad. My version of my dad's more like, oh, this, yeah, just kind of okay. Down but here. And, yeah, when he gets mad, he's like, what the fuck? That's it. Hanny, Allie. Sorry, guys. Quick note from my dad. What the fuck are you doing?
Where were you?
And then Dorit's like, how can I only have issues with Kyle when Teddy inserts herself in issues with me all the time? And then Rinna jumps in and she's like, you know, I'm a little uncomfortable with the conversation last night. And everyone blames Denise for like shutting shit down because the night before they were like, let's talk about threesomes in front of your kids. And Denise is like, I don't want to talk about it. And they're like, they're all like up in arms. And I'm like, what's wrong with someone being like, I don't want to talk about this anymore?
Because they're talking about something that is a, like, that's a personal, like, bringing, like, a way that someone is raising their children.
Right.
Like, with all this, by the way, with all the, like, cool, like, don't mom shame shit. Like, right. That's what they're doing. They're mom shaming. They're, right. Like, saying, you can't raise your kid this way.
Yeah, like, oh, Denise, get a grip.
You're such a, you got your husband a happy ending. And, like right. They've shown that clip, like, five times totally. This season. And it's like, get over it. Like, right. I'm not trying to, you know, bat, like, or I wouldn't defend being, like, conservative or not conservative, but, like, sexually, like, suppressed. But I don't think that she's doing that with her daughters.
No, I think she's just making boundaries.
Yeah. And boundaries with parents and kids?
Exactly.
Shocking!
And that's the other thing is I'm like, okay, like, yes, she did bring up the happy ending. We can change our fucking minds. Like, that was her first season on the show. She probably was like, I'm going to put it all out there. And then was like, that made my daughter feel shitty.
Probably saw yeah. Shit.
And then she was like, I'm going to reel it back in, which is completely her prerogative as a parent. And then,
God damn it.
And then, Denise is like, you know, I am not judging any one of you and I'm not upset or mad at anyone about it. And Erica's like, you are concerned enough to bring it up to three people. And Rinna's like, you're being contradictory. And then Rinna's like, well, do you talk about the hookers around your kids? Because you've been quite free with us. She brings up Charlie Sheen's hookers, like the audacity. And Denise is like, privately, yeah, I have private conversations with them. And Denise is hurt, and Erica thinks Denise's feelings are dumb, and Kyle thinks that Denise is in denial, and Rinna's like, do we feel better? And then there's awkward music, and Kyle's like, fan-fucking-tastic! And Teddy's like, oh! And that's how last week's episode ended.
That's how last week's episode went. Like, you're talking about the last scene.
That was the whole thing.
But that was the whole, like, that was the whole point. The episode was boring.
This is why.
It's a snooze fest.
It is a snooze fest, and it's hard, because especially, like, there are all these important things going on in the world. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go watch the show and talk about it. And I can't fucking get off my phone. Like, because A, because there's more important shit going on. B, because this is insanely mind numbing and boring.
Well, and like in normal episodes, like there's like house porn and like fashion shit that you get to watch. And like all that stuff that you like, you're like, this is why we watch Beverly Hills.
It's like escapist.
But when they are going on a trip, they're only in one house. They're not going anywhere else.
No, it's not like, you know, the Roni trip to Morocco where Luann almost fell off a camel. Like, that's not what we're getting here.
Woo! New York is 100 times better.
Guys, I literally had like anxiety poops and like couldn't sleep like the entire week before the rebrand. And I would wake up at pretty much like 3 a.m. every day until 6. And I would put on the Roni Morocco episodes over and over and over. And so Jake has like kind of seen yes, them a I lot. Have. You know what, Jill? Take it off your head. Okay, so this week opens with Garcelle. She's being honored for her work for the LA mission. And so she invited the ladies to this gala where she's going to be making a speech. And what?
Oh, I didn't see this part. I think I saw it like a next week on with this yeah, part. Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
So Teddy is getting ready and she's like, oh man, I'm the hot mess express. And I don't know why I had to include that except for any time Teddy says an R. I feel like I have an opportunity to do like an impression of her. And then everyone rolls up to the event and Denise is in this. So they all come in and like, they're all in these like dresses and extravagant like suits and shoes. And Denise comes in kind of this like ill fitting jumpsuit. And I just feel like she put it on and was like, ah, fuck it. I'm running late to filming.
Well, that's, I mean, Denise is used to being on sets where like she shows up in sweatpants and then yeah. they dress her and put her in front of a right. camera. And now it's like, they don't do, like, you have to show up ready, probably. Totally. Like,
right.
Especially when they're filming an event that one of them is at, or, you right. know, like, yeah.
I mean, that's, yeah, that's what I love. It's like, I just feel like Denise's overall aesthetic, it's always like a bun on top of the head, like a, like, ah, I'll just fucking wear it. This isn't, she like smells it before she puts it on. She's like, ah, this is fine. Puts it on.
She's Amber Adkins' mom.
Shows up. Amber, go get me my smokes. Denise's outfits remind me of my aunt. And I love her. So Garcelle's making her speech and she's like, thank you to this table of people who love me. And she like gestures to her family and then she points to the ladies' tables and she's like, and my new best friends, some of them not so much. And they're all like, ah! And you see Kyle's face be like, she's like terrified that it's about her. And Rin is like, who's the not so much? And Denise is like, I know it's not me. And then Teddy's like, oh, Kyle, she made eye contact with you. And Kyle is like fully fucking shook. And I like live for a shady little call out moment.
It's also a joke. And yeah. like your job is also to disagree with the other women on your show.
Yeah, and like to be snarky to each other.
Yeah.
That's why, seriously, if all these Ugh. Women took fucking notes from Garcelle and were being shady to each other and like snarky, then we might actually have a fucking good show, but it's so boring.
Yeah, and then at the end of it, if they like go up to her and they're like, you said that some of us don't, she's like, I was just making a joke because we're all in a Real Housewives franchise.
Well, no, she pretty much was like, it was Kyle.
Well, you know. Well,
and I love her for that.
Good.
So Erica like and Sutton... Erica and Sutton missed the speech because they were peeing. And Rinna reveals that she has a theory that Denise regrets talking about Aaron's dick and the happy ending and is overcompensating now. And they're talking after Denise leaves early, but all the ladies after the speech are talking and about like the whole thing. And Erica's like, well, I don't feel like I'm a bad mom. And I wrote in all caps, how are we still talking about this?
How?
And then Garcelle addresses that she feels like Kyle glazes over things when she brings something up. And Erica's like, well, you know, Garcelle hasn't been around a lot. And, you know, these relationships take time. And Kyle's like, well, I just feel like we've had a great time when we've hung out. And they show us like a scene of Kyle asking all these follow-up questions about Garcelle's house. And Garcelle's whole point is like, it's just surface level. Like, I never really feel like I can like open up to you. And Kyle's like, well, I don't know what you mean. Then we get a date night with Denise and Aaron. And Denise, what?
Oh, I saw this. Yeah, yeah.
She fills him in on Santa Barbara and he basically has no interest in going to Kyle's barbecue. What I took away from this scene was Denise's hairstyle. And I don't know if it was the hairstyle. Something about her energy reminded me of the dog in Lady and the Tramp. That's like, he's a tramp, but they love him. And she kind of has these like blue like eyes and this like floofy hair. I was like, that's Denise's vibe right now.
Do you know what I took away from that scene?
What?
That they Aaron walk sucks. In and she said, well, yeah, well, no, that wasn't that scene. That was at the
end.
Yeah, yeah. But what I took away was that they walk in and when they're walking in, she's like, oh my God, a private room. But then there's just no one sitting at the other tables and they're yeah. having, and I'm like, it's not a private room. There's just no one there because production rented it out. And then they're having a conversation and then later they like cut to a wide and they're like people filled in the restaurant.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck just happened?
You're always thinking about that production side, honey.
I know.
We love to see it.
I miss.
I know, right? So then they're all heading to Kyle's barbecue, and Kyle's barbecue, despite her hideous wardrobe, was so chic.
Chic.
Like, I truly don't know how someone can have such ugly clothes and then have such like beautiful taste when it comes to this barbecue. It's probably because she paid a chic party
someone
planner.
Else did. Yeah.
Yeah. But the tent in this scene was like a chic version of that scene in Spice World where they're all like kikiing in the morning in a tent and making fun of Clifford. Clifford!
Clifford.
Clifford, wait! I love that movie. Then we find out that Teddy is planning on eating her placenta in pill form. A shock to no one. And Garcelle says that that's white people shit. And look, I'm learning as I go here, okay? But I would agree with Garcelle that eating placenta is the most white people shit on the planet.
Yeah, we had a conversation about it.
Yeah, 100%. Well, my listeners weren't there, so that's why I'm bringing it up.
I know.
So then Aaron brings a grounding bag for EMF as like a gift for Kyle. And he's like, you know, if you have like a headache, you just like put it on your liver. And Kyle's like, thanks.
Where's my liver?
Yeah. And then I did make a note that Denise looked hippie chic because, again, just like a t-shirt, jeans and like chunky black boots. Like, ah, fuck it. This is fine.
She also heard barbecue and she's like, oh, jeans. Great.
Yeah. Oh, it's a barbecue. I'll wear some jeans, some blue jeans, Levi's.
And all the other girls are in like wrap dresses and like, yeah, like they look like they're going to like a dinner at a
like all-inclusive
resort.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally. And Kyle's like, sit down, everyone. My Kyle is a mess. I did it casual. And I was like, casual for who, bitch? Nancy Myers?
It was like boho chic.
It was like, this is like the 40th birthday party of my dreams. Like, it was the most beautiful, like the little poofs and the long table and the flowers and the tent and the floofy little fluffies in the tent.
But also, what did they have to eat? Because like that,
it was Mexican. It was like a buffet.
But that's not a barbecue.
I know. That's what, so on the way there.
Just because it's outside doesn't make it a barbecue.
I know. I know. LA. Well, so on the way there, Erica and Rinna were kind of like mourning in the car because they were like, you know, I was looking forward to our yearly dog. And they cut back to like in 2017 when they were at a barbecue.
Wait, Rinna and who was
that? And Erica. And then they cut back to a scene from a barbecue like years ago where Rinna's like, I love a hot dog just once a year. And Erica's like, yep, once a year. I have a hot dog once a year. And they don't even have buns. They're just eating them with forks and no condiments.
Those two, I think, are my favorite They're on this show. They're
wildly entertaining. So we find out that Denise purposely didn't bring her kids because she didn't want them within earshot of the group. You haven't recovered from the yearly hot dog. They were bummed. They were like, you know, I love Mexican food, but like I was mentally prepared for my yearly hot dog, which is fair. That's frustrating.
I can just Erica doing that is like I've seen two episodes
once a year. You love Erica. You think her voice is so amazing. I showed you her music video and you were like, oh my. You said it looked like a parody of a music video.
It did.
It looked like an SNL sketch.
It looked like an SNL sketch. It was great.
It was great. I loved every second.
They probably hired the SNL people just because, I mean, you know.
Why not?
Why not? They flew them out from New York in LA where there's no one in production.
Mm-hmm. So then we find out Denise purposely didn't bring her kids because she didn't want them within earshot of this group of women. And the whole group is like, you're not comfortable bringing your kids around us. And Teddy's like, but I think who it was presented prior, is it because it's our group that you don't want to bring them? I wrote this sentence down word for word and I don't know what the fuck it means. I must have messed something up.
Say the whole thing and then I'll tell you.
But I think who it
where
was.
Where she fucked up.
I think I did. But I think who it was presented prior is it. Oh, but I how? Think. It, yeah. I think how it was presented prior is it's because it's our group. You don't want to bring them. So. And then Garcelle's like, but that's her right as a mom. And I was like, agreed. Who the fuck
Who cares?
I just can't believe out of all these women, literally Garcelle's the only one that's like, I don't understand what we're arguing about here. Like, I don't understand how not one, they're all moms. Yeah. I don't understand how not one other woman at the table can be like, hey, how she wants to parent her kid isn't our business. Like, I don't get it. So then Teddy accuses Denise of trying to make the group look bad. And then Aaron's like, well, you know, I'm going to step in here because that's ridiculous. And then Rinna demands to know what was discussed between Denise and her daughter, Sammy. And Denise is like, well, I don't know. I mean, that's between me and Sammy.
Yeah, I didn't see any of this. And Fuck you, Rinna. You.
Well, that's the thing. Rinna's like, well, I just want to know, like, was she upset? Or, you know, did she not care?
It doesn't matter.
She's, yeah, exactly. She's just looking for someone to be like, it's okay that you talked about threesomes in front of my kids.
How is this a season arc?
Okay, because that's what Beverly Hills fucking does. So last season, the whole season was out about like a fucking dog. This is like the Lucy Juicy Apple Goosey of this season, and I've had enough. I've had enough.
So this season is mom shaming.
It's mom shaming, and it's like, did Denise fuck Brandy Glanville? It's just like the takedown of Denise, and I'm not here for it. I don't get it. I'm like, out of all these women, like, can we watch the takedown of Kyle?
I know you don't like Kyle. I have no feelings towards her.
I just think she does this like whiny, like tear duct, like, I'm your mom shaming me. I'm like, what are you guys doing to Denise? Yeah. Like, she's very manipulative and acts like she's not. And that's what pisses me off. Then Kyle's friend Jennifer is like, excuse me, I think teenagers already know what a threesome is. And Aaron just keeps being like, there's no issue. No issue, ladies. Okay, we're moving on. Do we feel great now? And Erica's like, I feel amazing because I don't care. Gets up and leaves. Then Rinna does a real power move and she retreats to the bouncy house to play with the kids and remove herself from the drama, which is like a mood and a vibe. She's like, I'm going to go on the slide because I don't want to be over there. Fair. So then Kyle's like, I have been mom shamed. And like, that's the other thing is the like, why are you all being mean to me? I'm like, you're not the one that everyone's jumping on right now.
Wait, Denise Kyle said that she had been mom-shamed?
Like, I'm being mom shamed. I don't really recall, to be honest, because I don't care. Then Aaron's like, you know, when people win, also people engage because they want to see how people won. So keep that in mind, ladies. Everybody put your hand in and give a hurrah.
Is he a coach?
And then Erica's like, what the fuck is he saying? Is Aaron a complete moron or is he on drugs? I'm confused, man.
See, this is why I like.
Well, okay, you know this. If there is one type of human that really riles me up, gets my goat, it's a straight man who talks a lot and says fucking nothing. Like, when you're going to be, if you're going to be condescending than me, you better fucking be smarter than me. Otherwise, I'm going to be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, that's the thing, is like, he's condescending by not saying anything.
Exactly. He's just here. He just wants to hear himself talk and have the satisfaction of talking in a condescending tone to a group of women.
So what you're saying is that Erica is responding the way that you would respond in that situation. Okay.
But I would have lost my shit.
So much.
Aw. If you're comparing me to Erica, that's a compliment.
Well, yeah.
That's a high honor. Well, yeah. So then the fight escalated and Aaron and Denise are like, we're going. And Aaron tells the women to look in the mirror and flicks them off. And Erica's like, I like what I see when I look in the mirror and I own it.
Is this when they're walking out, though, and they're like, don't, Bravo's here. Don't.
Denise is like, don't say a word. Don't say a word. Beep, beep. We're on camera. We're on the camera. We're on the camera. He's like, and Kyle's like, Denise, this is silly. And Teddy is like very concerned about Denise trying to make the group look bad. But here's how I feel about that. If someone's trying to make me look bad, but I know that I didn't do anything wrong, then I wouldn't really give a shit. Right?
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay, Denise, then like try to make us look bad. I know I didn't do anything. Teddy's deeply concerned about looking bad. And I'm like, okay,
yeah,
because well,
she doesn't want to get fired and she doesn't want the show to go away. So she's
but looking
like,
bad makes the show better.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people not getting along makes the show better.
But maybe that's what she's doing, though, too, is just being like, let's start drama by her trying to make us look bad. This is why we're all mad at her.
Well, okay, so we talked earlier about how, like, Kristen and Sheena are willing to fall on the sword. The issue with this cast is no one wants to fall on the sword.
Because it's L.A. Well, right. I guess technically Vanderpump is L.A. too. But this is different?
These are women. I don't know. I would say these are women who are like established in their careers and in their lives.
There's a lot of money there. There's more money there.
Right. And they're established in their careers and their lives in such a way where they're like, if I look bad on this show, like it's going to like it could fuck my life up.
Except for Rinna.
Rinna doesn't give a shit.
Rinna doesn't give a her brand is being like, I
messy.
Don't care.
Yeah. What a fun brand. Truly. But like Teddy is the opposite. Teddy's like, I'm an accountability coach and I'm perfect and I'm always on time and like, well. And so I don't think she can hang with the idea of like people being mad at her and her fucking up. That being, and I'm similar. That being said, I would not be on a reality show then.
The fuck is an accountability coach? What is that?
You basically, like, from what I've heard of her program, All In With Teddy, to go All In With Teddy means you work out a lot, you eat like 2 calories a day, and then your coach texts you and is like, did you work out and not eat today? Great, you're All In With Teddy. That's what I've heard. I've heard it's like a like terrifying, like low-key anorexia program.
No.
And then women are like, look at all the weight I lost. And I'm like, you were fucking tortured.
No.
There's another way. Go on TikTok. There's so many healthy tips.
No.
So then that's pretty much the end of the episode. Later this, we get like a mid-season trailer. And later this season, we get a Kim Richards sighting. We get a Faye Resnick sighting. We get Erica and Aaron continuing to have tension. We love to see it. The ladies go to Rome. We have the arrival of Brandi Glanville talking about fucking Denise. The fourth wall continues to be broken. And potentially, Rinna does something fucked up. But like, I can't tell if it was editing or not. Because Garcelle says something like, you're the bad guy in that movie. And I'm like, Is it one of those things where it's like in the middle of a conversation where they edit it to make it look like she's like calling Rinna out, or did Rinna actually do something fucked up?
Well, based on the season trailer.
Well, when she's like, oh, you're so angry.
No, I'm talking about the season. I mean, I haven't seen the trailer that you're talking about. I'm mm-hmm. talking about the season trailer that was leading up to right, the whole season right. of like Denise being like, I'm out. Fuck. Bravo. Don't say anything. Don't say like, yeah. I would say it's all editing.
I think so, too, because I think that Bravo dinner already happened, but they didn't show us that clip.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah.
Speaking of conspiracy theories, mm-hmm. there was a season of The Hills where sure. in the season trailer, mm-hmm. okay. Whitney Port talked about sure. there was something like it was edited to make us believe that Whitney made out with Brody Jenner, where it was like, I kissed Brody. And then she's like, how? And she's like, I didn't kiss him like my brother. Or there was like some clip in the trailer where it like led us to believe that Whitney and Brody made out. And it never appeared on the show and it was never spoken again. And I want receipts. I want to fucking know what happened to this footage, because it was a plot point that LC, who I've never been a huge fan of, disowned Jen Bunny and disowned Heidi over Spencer and Jen Bunny fucking Brody. So if Whitney Port made out with Brody, why is it okay when Whitney does it and nobody else?
Sure.
I want answers. People, anyone on the inside of The Hills universe, I want it. Tell me the truth.
I haven't seen that show.
The truth has to be revealed. Cousins. Okay. Do you want to get into Roni? So we have Hurricane Leah, a.k.a. The Exorcism of Leah McSweeney. So, first of all, I was thrilled to see that Sonia has a new intern named Matthew. And Ramona FaceTimed Leah from a tanning bed. And Leah's like, are you in a tanning bed? And Ramona's like, Newport is a really chic place. Great wine, great oysters. So the ladies are heading to Newport to like go on a vacation. And Ramona is organizing it.
Is this when they get on a party bus?
Yes.
Okay.
Dorinda's the first one to arrive, and she was like, oh, I used to stay here with my late husband. Then they're in the party bus on the way there, and Elise comes up with this idea to play like a game called like Most Humbling Moment. And Leah reveals that things with Pita Chip, the guy she was dating, are on the rocks, and she's like, he basically left her on red. And she's like, no, you have an aloof and irreverent attitude towards my time. Even after 7 years of therapy, when I start being vulnerable, basically I'm a psycho bitch. So then Leah asks on the bus if her sister can come. And Ramona's like, it's a girls trip. You're not inviting anybody. And Sonia's like, no. And Ramona's like, you know, I'm a planner. I'm a control freak and I'm a planner. And Luann's like, look, with her ruler and her pencil. And let's remember, guys, in season one, when Ramona was pissed off that Alex McCord invited Simon to a girls' night without letting her know. So Ramona has like a stick up her ass about this kind of stuff. The ladies all arrive and Ramona immediately orders 2 dozen oysters. And I prayed immediately watching this that I wouldn't have to watch her tongue them. Because we all know that watching Ramona eat oysters is like kind of it's a trip, to say the least. Then Leah reveals that she's not in a great headspace to be traveling, and she already isn't feeling great about herself because of Pita Chip, and she's like, I'm not hungry, I don't want to eat, I'm not dieting, I'm just like not hungry. And then Ramona decides that tomorrow for dinner, Leah's sister can come.
And then immediately she's like, you know, I didn't really want her to come. Let's do a vote instead. And Leah's like, well, you invited Elise. You're not even talking to her. And Ramona has known Elise 20 years. So apparently that's different. But it's not, because she's just as new to the group. So I don't really know why Elise is there. And I'm still frustrated that she's being pushed on me. And Sonia's like, the guests can't invite guests. And Ramona's like, nope, she's not coming. No, you're being rude. And she's not coming. I don't want her here. She's not coming. And Dorinda's like, you can sneak her in your room. And Leah's like, Sonia, you're saying no? You're a hater. And Sonia pumps her fist to the sky. And she's probably like, I'm a hater. I'm a hater. And Luann doesn't give a fuck about Leah's sister. Dorinda's double fisting, singing. She's like, yeah. She has like multiple drinks.
I just had a real big problem with what's her name?
Ramona
and Sonia, these two episodes.
They were fucking nightmare.
They were like the catty middle school girls, yes, that were just like, this is my party. You can't vote.
Yeah.
Like, it's like they were like girls that threw a party, but then only hung out with each other.
For sure. I mean, and they're historically like nightmares on vacations. And it's like to the point where I'm like, yes, it's hilarious. Like, I really don't want them to change, but it's also like so exhausting to watch. So then Ramona eventually decides that it's fine if Leah's sister Sarah can come. So then they all arrive at their respective little, like, you know, villas. And Dorinda's like, oh my God, look at that rock. Looks like it was placed there. Dorinda's like marveling at the beach. And Sonia's like, oh my God, the sea air smells so good. My skin feels so good. Oh, I actually feel horny. And then Ramona now actually doesn't think that Sarah should come. And she's like a little kid. Oh, she says, she's like a little kid. Mommy, can she come and play with me? I know I said yes, but I'm just realizing the dynamic will not be good. So Leah's
They're calling Leah the little kid. That's the thing, is like they're being the little children. They're being the 12-year-old
hypocrisy.
Like the way they even talk, they're like, don't talk to me. I'm at the bar with, which I know we'll get to that. But like fucking
They're insufferable.
Yeah, they're bad.
Leah immediately gets wasted, and like,
as a good parent would.
Exactly. Like, she's a great time. And Tins is like, oh Leah, they're like getting ready for dinner, and Leah's like, wait, what'd you say?
I said, oh, Tinsley.
I love Tinsley.
She's just such a little... She's a garden fairy.
She is. She's a fairy garden princess, yeah, or whatever. And Leah's already wasted. And she's like, in Newport, we don't burp. In Newport, we don't even pee. And Leah's like really upset because she's no longer friends with Pita Chip. And she's like, it smells like a Dorita in here. And then half the ladies arrive to Ramona's clam bake. And everyone's like, it's a wedding of friendship, a celebration of friendship. And then the other half of the ladies head over, and Leah's in the car, and she's like, you know what? This is a judgment-free zone. And you know what? This is a party zone right now. And then Ramona makes them all wear crowns. How do you feel about, like, when you're, like, at a dinner and you're asked to wear, like, a crown? Has this ever happened to you?
No, because I'm a dude, and I also don't go to dinners.
Yes, you do. I mean, you have a lot of female friends. Like, I feel like...
Yeah, but I've never
been, voluntarily wore a safari hat on our wine tour in Malibu.
That's different.
It is different. That's
very different.
Because I'm going to say something. From 8 years of serving, I always know that, like, a group's going to be a pain in the ass when there's, like, props. Like, when there's, like, a centerpiece brought in from outside the restaurant. When there's, like, confetti on the table and everyone gets a crown and it's, like, a whole thing. And I'm like, oh, is this what we're doing? And you're expecting me to basically be, like, a party planner as well, because you're making, like, you're...
And can you bring this out, but not too soon?
Yes.
Like, we want to make sure it's at this time, like, when we're done eating, but not quite done eating. But
it has to be a surprise, because she doesn't know about the sparklers.
So, and also, I'm going to come back there and I'm going to light the candles. Is it a fire hazard? I don't care, but I'm going to cut the cake and And can you give me a 12-inch knife to cut the cake?
But actually, please? No. Can you cut it back there? Mm. But she needs to blow out the candles first. So
how do we do that? Do you bring it out and then you take it away?
Literally, waiting on Ramona is like my worst nightmare in my fucking life.
Not a waiter, and I knew that shit.
Yeah, she's terrifying. And then so Ramona makes them all wear these crowns because they're all queens. And Luann finds an excuse to quote.
Wait, what?
Luann finds an excuse to quote her song "Feelin' Giovanni," and Sonia goes, "That's enough, Giovanni, for tonight." Just immediately shuts her down. Luann's like, "Hell with Countess, now I'm queen," and Sonia's like, "That's enough, Giovanni, for tonight." And then Luann actually now decides that she thinks it's rude that Leah invited Sarah so last minute. And I'm like, I have whiplash from these women's indecisiveness.
Luann is a flip-flopper more than, like...
100%.
Because the thing is, Luann is actually probably on Leah's side, but she just wants, like... This is just like the Denise talking in about a threesome in front of, like, who cares? Sure. Who cares? It's a sister coming to a dinner
for sure
that no one is paying for.
Right. Right. Exactly. Also, Leah is not impressed with Ramona's cocktail. She's like, what's in this, Ramona? It tastes just like water. And she's like, it's basically just a shot of vodka, soda water, tons of muddled mint, and a lime. And Leah's like, I want two more shots of vodka. And Ramona's not having it.
Smart girl.
Yes. And Ramona's not having it. And Dorinda in her interview is like, why do you care? We're on vacation. Leave the girl alone. And then Ramona's like, fine. You know, you're a recovering alcoholic. And Tinsley schools Ramona. And she's like, Ramona, hello. Or oh, no. Tinsley schools Ramona and is like, Ramona, she's not an alcoholic. And Ramona's like, hello. Her body's not used to alcohol. And then Dorinda's like, we're in a safe environment, Ramona. Come in. And Leah's just feeling fully suffocated.
My favorite thing is when you can't understand Delinda in her Delinda. Confessionals.
What's the problem?
When she's saying, but I'm like, this is noon on a Tuesday and you're not drinking yet, hopefully, but maybe you are.
Who's to say?
Who knows? Who's to say? And it's a judgment-free zone, you know?
So then Sonia and Ramona strategize how to tell Leah that Sarah is now no longer welcome. And Leah starts sitting on Sonia's lap and Tinsley's like, just sit here and eat your soup. And Leah's like, Tinsley, don't tell me what to do, bitch. And Luann's like, Ramona, you've outdone yourself. Relax, kids. Relax. I low-key love Luann.
I high-key love Luann.
I think she's so fucking funny.
Luann and Dorinda are my favorite.
Yeah. You're like, they're like the parents
they
of this
are
group.
The parents, and we'll get to that later.
Yeah. Then Ramona's like, can you go sit in your seat? You actually make me very uncomfortable. Actually, you're drunk. You're drunk. And Leah's like, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make everybody uncomfortable. I'm going to make everyone comfortable now. And there was a meme going around that Leah was like Kristen Wiig in Bridesmaids when she like fucks up the bridal shower. But she's also like Kristen Wiig in Bridesmaids when she's on the plane. And like, yeah. She's like, I'm Mrs. Iglesias. Like, she was in a full place of like, running
party.
Then Leah rips her boot off, kicks the camera.
Question, mad are you that I did that with you instead of letting you do your whole impression?
Very upset.
That's what I thought. Okay.
We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, okay.
Leah rips her boot off, kicks the camera, a mood and a vibe. Dorinda and Tinsley try to have a heart to heart. Dorinda's like, I'm tough. So I think I was just trying to be like, and then meanwhile, Sonia's dragging Leah across the grass and Leah's like, I don't want to go on the yacht. It's a shit yacht. I want to go on a big yacht. And then Ramona tries to uninvite Sarah and Leah goes, oh, hell no, bitch. Don't go there. And then Dorinda's like, my life's not your life. And then Leah's like, guess what? My sister's already on the way. She is. And Sonia's like, oh, my God. And then Tinsley to Dorinda is like, can this girl give me a fucking hug? I need a hug. And Dorinda in her interview is like, I just want to watch Leah destroy the place. And Leah starts to rip the crowns off, fuck with the flowers. At this point, Leah is fully barefoot like Britney Spears at a gas station in 2007. And, also I was talking about on this podcast how I'm trying to find feet peace this summer. But I just wrote, I'm glad that Leah has found feet peace in her life because she's just walking around barefoot like it's no big deal in the middle of a dinner.
Sure.
Leah then starts crying and ripping at the curtains of the tent, writhing around on the floor like Nicole Kidman in Practical Magic.
A little pop culture.
It's true.
But they're so funny.
And Sonia's like, she may have split personality. I've seen it on TV. And then Ramona tries to talk
Wait,
to
Wait, who said that?
Sonia did. She's like eating
Leah. I'm sorry. Sonia has no room to talk.
Oh, that's like the theme of these two episodes. And really, I would argue the entire show is that Sonia and Ramona have zero room to talk. And then Ramona tries to talk to Leah while Leah weeps and no water comes out of Leah's eyes. But she's like, then Elise is being a judgmental juniper about Leah inviting her sister. And I'm like, literally, Elise, who the fuck are you? Luann is two and she's being very early season countess, but then luckily the editors troll Luann by cutting back to all the times Luann's been wasted and fallen down. And at this point, Leah's like pissed and exhausted and like, I don't really blame her. And Luann's like, oh, don't cry. These bitches aren't worth crying for. And then Ramona's like, Leah. I went to the ladies' room and I thought about it. I have to live out of my box. Your sister's welcome, okay? And I was like, holy fuck, did anyone keep a tally of like how many times Ramona changed her mind? It had to have been at least seven. The next morning, Dorinda's like, waves speak to me. And she checks in on Leah. And Leah's like, Dorinda's at the beach. And she calls Leah. And Leah's like, I'm alive. And Dorinda's like, you feel okay? And Leah's like, I feel great. And then Elise arrives at Ramona and Sonia's room. And Elise is judgy as ever. She's like, oh, you're not dressed yet. Well, you know, I didn't drink as much as you, so I was up earlier. And, oh, I also made a note that Ramona's pitching.
Wait, who said that?
Elise. Exactly. Who said that? Elise, this woman who keeps being pushed on us with her bangs. Then Ramona's pajamas looked like an outfit that Jen and Dead to Me would wear. You know, like Jen and Dead to Me, her pajamas are always like white silky pants, like a light blue tank top, and then like a light cotton like duster.
What episode are we on?
This is last week's.
And this is who? Luann?
No, this is Elise arriving at Ramona and Sonia's room. So then they're all getting ready to like go to town. I know. They're all getting ready to go to town, and Elise is like to Leah. She's like, I'm assuming you were wasted last night. I mean, 0 to 100. You want to be like that all the time? Really? And you wonder why guys think you're a crazy chick? And I was like, literally, Elise, did anyone ask you to speak? Like, she reminds me of myself in sixth grade when the popular girls let me sit with them like one time at lunch. And I acted to be like, or like, remember the season of Vanderpump Rules where Sheena was in the Stassi, Katie, Kristen group? And she was just like embarrassingly like kiss-assy and over the top and then shady to whatever girl they decided they didn't like at the time.
Do you know what I just realized?
What?
They were able to pay both Leah and Elise. Like, they're like, we can afford Elise to come on as much as she's been on because we're not paying for Bethany anymore.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, we have so much more money that we can, like,
allocate.
Yeah, exactly.
That's wild. Yeah.
Anyway, production. I just realized that.
So Leah makes a strong case for her drunkenness in her interview, saying that like legit every other woman has done this, which is true. And then Elise is in the car with Ramona and Sonia, and she talks shit about Dorinda, and she does this like terrible impression where she's like, she will call out behavior that she doesn't like, but if anyone else calls it out, she's like, don't you judge? And I'm like, Elise, please leave the impressions to myself. Sonia and Ramona are tickled by her shitty impression. They're like, like, think it's so funny.
I can't stand them. These two episodes,
they're awful. Then the gals are poking around in stores, and Elise performatively like tries to warm up Leah, and Leah calls Elise out, and she's like, yeah, you were kind of like judgy to me earlier. And Leah's like, what if your daughter ended up like that? What message are you sending her? And Leah noticeably gets pissed off, rightfully so, and she's fully over it. And the woman working in the store is judgy. And, like, Newport kind of looks like it sucks if there's no room to, like, swear or get wasted, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Newport seems very, like, straight edge and judgy.
Like, waspy.
Waspy. Yeah. Yes.
It's not what you want. And then Dorinda's like, let's get a Bloody Mary. So they all get Bloody Marys, and Dorinda advocates for a judge-free zone, and Ramona jumps in, and she's like, well, yeah, I mean, as long as people behave themselves. And Dorinda's like, be inclusive. And Ramona's like, well, she didn't apologize about last night. And Leah's like, what the fuck is happening right now?
Can I just make a statement? I feel like this is... So here's the deal. When New York goes on a trip to a 2-3 hour whatever away station.
Well, sure.
They go to Rhode Island and they are able to get 2 full episodes out of this show.
Uh-huh.
Rhode Island is very similar in aesthetic and feel
to Santa Barbara.
And you and I literally only talked about the last scene because
nothing else happened.
Nothing else fucking happened.
Yeah. These ladies do the work.
That's all I'm saying.
They're all willing to fall on the sword. So then Ramona's like, well, you know, I blacked it out because your behavior was just so atrocious. And then Luann calls bullshit and is like, no, bitch, you blacked out too. And now you're making Leah feel bad. Because Ramona basically is like, I was so triggered that I blacked out the entire night. And I don't even remember what you did because you triggered me so badly. And Luann's like, no, you were fucked up too. You just weren't as out of control as Leah was. So then Leah feels bad for triggering Ramona. Luann calls Ramona's ass out, and I loved every second. And that was the end of last week's episode.
Wow.
Okay, so this week's episode opened at the bar. It's 1:30 p.m., and they're still in the middle of this conversation. And Luann's like, you know, we didn't like the Tasmanian fucking devil. And then Elise comes in, even though no one asked her to. And she's like, I have never seen someone go off the rails like that. And the ladies sit down to lunch, and Luann orders a couple shrimp cocktails. I love her for that. And then Leah's sister, Sarah, arrives. And I feel like in this sisterhood, Leah is the Mary-Kate and Sarah is the Ashley. Like, Leah's a little more like artsy and like out there, and Sarah's like the like straight edge one out of the two
they
of them.
They sound the exact same.
It sounds like, exactly
I
the
was,
same.
I was very concerned with like that, like the ADR, like if someone was like voice, or like when she started talking, I was like, are they?
Do you want to explain to my listeners what ADR is who aren't in the business?
I don't. It's basically when you go into a sound booth after something and you like talk, you fill in your line that they couldn't get because the wind blew too fast.
Or like a plane.
Right.
Dorinda's like super warm and she's like, hey, and their voices are exactly the same. I made that note too. Sarah's from Williamsburg, and Dorinda gives like a whole monologue about Williamsburg. She's like, oh, Williamsburg, the best macaroons, the best donut shop. And, you know, I recorded because I said, you know, what we should do, Hannah, we should stay in a hotel. I said to Hannah, I said, pack your bags because you're going to Williamsburg. So they have this fun little lunch, and 4:30 rolls around, and then Tinsley, Sarah, and Leah take a selfie. Tinsley kisses Sarah's face, and Sarah's like, Leah's like kind of sexual with me sometimes, or whatever she said. And then Tinsley's like, oh my God, I made out with my sister. As a joke. And we find out that Tinsley made out with her sister, Dabney. And Leah looks at her sister and she's like, I thought we were sickos.
Well, because there was a question of like, was it 10 years ago or was it when they were 10?
And she was like, it was 10 years ago. So she was like, what, like 30 something when she made out with her sister?
Yeah, I thought she said she was 10 though.
No, she was like, it was 10. And they thought that she was going to say I was 10. But then she's like, no, it was 10 years ago. They're like, oh, 10 years ago. Yeah. So then the ladies are getting ready for dinner. Yeah. And what?
I said, ew.
I thought it was great. I don't think I would make out with my sister. I think that's weird.
Well,
but I love it for Tinsley and Dabney.
10 years from now, and then tell me.
I love it for Tinsley and Dabney. So then they're getting ready for dinner, and Dorinda shows up to Luann's room, and we know shit's going down because Dorinda's in her classic power stance where she sits down with her legs spread, leaning forward with her elbows on her knees. She's like ready to go, and we find out that Dorinda talked to John, and she said she wanted space. And Dorinda's basically just like sad about the breakup, even though she knows it's the right thing. Luann gives her advice, telling her that feeling bad for John is basically like not a reason to stay with him.
But she also asked Dorinda to open a bottle of wine for her,
mm-hmm.
basically.
And then, because Dorinda was a server for a while, which I love that about her.
She's like, you're better at this. I can't do this. It's in the middle of Dorinda like crying.
Mm-hmm.
And the countess is like, but you're better at this. I can't do this.
And Dorinda's already slurring at this point. She's like, I don't want to be a downer for people. You're sad. You're sad. So then all the ladies show up to dinner, and this was the best scene of the entire episode. I was like, why didn't we just end it here? I loved the whole vibe of the restaurant. It looked great. And I want to say that Leah's sister Sarah looked like a chic Amish lady because she was in this like cream turtleneck and like a sequined long skirt, and she looked great. Oh my God, I have an itch in my ear.
Oh no.
Then all the ladies immediately go to the bar and to the bathroom and like fully disperse. And Tinsley's like deeply confused. She's like, our table's fucking ready. Like, why can't you just sit down? And then Ramona says hi to a dashing man at the bar, and the flirting ensues. And she's like, oh, I think you forgot your pants. What happened? Because he was wearing shorts. And Elise does an impression of Ramona. She's doing a lot of impressions. And I'm like, Elise, Chloe Fineman, you are not. Okay. And then Ramona's just super tickled by the hot bar guy being from Arkansas, and he just looks deeply confused. And, you know, I don't want to upset you, Jake, but in my single days, I have 1000% been the Ramona where I'm like out with girlfriends, and it's like, unless I can get attention from a guy, then like, why am I even out? So, you know, it's a mood, it's a vibe.
We'll talk about it later.
I mean, I made the first move on you. I pulled a Ramona on you.
We'll talk about it later.
You're just like, oh. So then, we find out that hot bar guy does national security, and we also find out he's engaged. So like,
we find out like 4 times that he's engaged.
Several times that he's like very much engaged. And then we get Sean, the server, and he's like, hi, my name's Sean. And Dorinda's like, my name's Dorinda Medley. I would love to wait on Dorinda.
I wouldn't, not in that moment. She was like, hold on, not everyone's here. Like, she corrected what he was doing.
But then she ordered oysters. She's like, we'll do oysters. Yeah. And pasta. And Leah jumps in and she's like, we'll do the Caesar salad and the goat cheese ravioli. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I love a group of women that, like, goes ham on the apps. Like, get enough mm-hmm. that everyone mm-hmm. can have some. Otherwise, we're not going to get along. Yep. Then Leah's like, I love Tinsley, but I don't think her delivery with these women is effective at all. And Tinsley tries to talk to Sonia. And Sonia overtly ignores her. Tinsley, like, goes to the bar and she's like, I'm going to get the ladies to sit down. And hot bar guy looks wildly uncomfortable.
But she's like the mouse, one of the mice in, like, Cinderella that's like, you guys need to do this and you need to sew this. And nobody's listening to her. Yeah. No one's, like, the birds are like, whatever, just get away from me.
I feel like they're both like Lucifer the cat from Cinderella. They're just like, I don't give a fuck about you,
yeah,
mouse.
Yeah.
I'll eat you.
Yeah.
And then Luann and Sonia, Lady and the Tramp, a martini olive. And then Ramona fully ignores Tinsley. And it was honestly infuriating. Like, Ramona just thinking she's hot shit, like, standing there talking to this fully engaged man. That's another thing. I'm like, you're going to judge Leah for getting wasted the night before, but then you're going to fully, like, try to fucking engage guy, like, over the course of an entire, like, over the course of, like, a while.
Yeah.
It's like, what are we judging here? What are we prioritizing? So then Dorinda is, like, opening up to Elise, and she's like, yeah, you love someone so much, you'll just eat them up whenever, wherever. That's love. And Elise is just like, yeah, sure, that's love, Dorinda, for sure.
And saying that, like, Dorinda is, she's like the drunk friend that's just, like, talking. And
rambling.
Yeah.
The ramblings of a mad woman. I also live for Bravo subtitling Dorinda, and I just want to say that, like, there was a while where Luann dated a man named Jacques, who is French. Dorinda gets subtitled more than Jacques does. And Jacques is, like, fully French and, like, had a pretty thick accent. But Dorinda gets all the subtitles. And sometimes the subtitles just say in parentheses, unintelligible. Because someone in the Bravo room was like, I can't fucking figure that out. That's beyond me. Beyond my pay grade.
Seriously.
Then
that's real.
Leah basically just says she and Sarah are, like, she's like, we're hot enough that, like, we'll totally be able to, like, get the guy like, not want to talk to Sonia and Ramona anymore. How would you feel if you were the guy at the bar and you were swarmed by Ramona and Sonia and, like, all these ladies? If we were engaged and you were at a bar and then they were like, hey, we're filming Roni here, do you want to sign this release? Would you be like, sure? Because I don't think it was like, hey, Ramona's going to come up to you and try and hit on you now. I think they were just like, hey, you know, we're shooting around here.
You're entering this bar that's being filmed. Like, just be aware is what we would do.
Right.
Yeah. I would be like, all right, cool. I'm being filmed. And then realizing that, like, all these people are all over me, I would start getting annoyed and getting overwhelmed. I'm not defending what he said because that was fucked up.
He was a
up.
Real dick. Yeah.
He was real nice to Ramona and Sonia and Luann, being like,
well, the second two, like, hot young girls came around who probably would piss off his fiance more.
That's the thing.
He was like, fuck you both, and, like, got up and
he was like, there, she's your fucking problem, and then walked away. And it's like,
yeah. Sarah goes, she goes, I don't think your fiance would like this situation. He goes, I think this situation is your fucking problem. And then Ramona's like, stop, stop, stop. And Sarah's like, we haven't really met. And I think it's kind of wrong that you're, like, ignoring me. And Ramona's like, whatever. Fully ignores Sarah.
Literally, whatever, rolls her eyes.
Couldn't be bothered.
Yeah.
Dorinda's then opening up to Elise and more. And I wrote, the ramblings of a drunken woman about too much emphasis on sex, a credit card. She was talking about all kinds of things.
She was talking about a black card.
She's like, a black card, like, got this jacket.
But the smartest thing that she did, which is why she is one of the parents of the group, she left.
Elise's interview, she's like, these are a geriatric version of girls gone wild. The thing is, Elise says funny things. She's just not funny.
She's given funny lines.
She's given funny lines, but, like, she's not a funny person.
No, she's not a funny person.
She's doing the best she can. I shouldn't be so mean to her.
You know what? She's getting paid, and
yeah, it's more than I can say. I would never do reality TV, though. Tinsley then calls out Ramona's insane hypocrisy for how she judged the shit out of Leah for misbehaving the night before her dinner, and then Ramona acting this way at a dinner that Tinsley planned. Ramona's like, my table's always ready, baby cakes. My table's always ready. And Sonia's like, they came in after us. Like, I make these notes and I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck they were saying.
But here's the deal. I don't think the two of them sound that much different. But then when you do your impressions, I notice the difference one after the other. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, they do sound different.
There are some vocal differences.
Yeah. No.
And Leah's like, I was acting like a maniac like 12 hours ago, but at least I was acting like a fun maniac. Then Ramona starts choking herself with corn. There was a lot of work with this corn. Like, they were really into the gourds, the corn. And Dorina's like, what is really going on? She gets up. She's like, stop. And then she's like, I'm going to go home. And she just leaves.
Yeah.
And then Sonia puts gourds on her ears and is saying something that I cannot understand.
I think she's saying la, 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 la. And what's her name? Ramona was like,
yeah, she was like crying, holding her face to the table, choking herself with corn. Then there's this like beautifully dressed preppy man in the background sipping a martini and like watching this shit storm occur. He's like, holy fuck. Then Leah throws a ravioli at Ramona and it splattered all over Ramona's face.
I think she threw two though.
Two raviolis? One at Sonia, one at Ramona?
Yeah.
I think she only threw one ravioli. Because she's like, I threw a ravioli.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's true.
But it splatters all over Ramona's face and Sonia's top. And because Leah's basically like, fuck you. She's like, you want to fuck with me? Whatever. But you want to fuck with my family? I'm going to throw ravioli at you. And Ramona's like, you know, right now with Leah, I'm really disappointed. Very disappointed. And, you know, disappointment is worse than anger because it just is. And then Leah struts out in her fabulous fur vest with a martini. And Luann sets that beautiful dried autumnal corn ablaze.
Whose team is she on? That's what I want to know.
She just arbitrarily lit corn on fire.
Is the countess on?
I know. She doesn't know. We don't know. It's a mystery. Then Leah marches out and just starts making out with Tinsley, to which you said, oh.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Well, cure.
Well, cure.
Let me get 9 a.m. the next day. Dorinda's like, yeah, I've already had a hamburger. I like hamburgers for breakfast. And Sonia's getting ready with a tag fully on her pants. I made a note that Sarah is super chic. And then in Leah's interview, she's like, I don't feel happy or proud about losing my temper to the point I threw food. I'm also feeling really bad that my sister had a pretty shitty time. And then the parents debrief about the previous night's events.
Yes, but Sarah's super chic because she's wearing giant sunglasses.
And then this big like sweater, and then her cute fringy bangs.
Oh, I didn't even notice any of that.
She's wearing this like oversized like navy like kind of fuzzy sweater, and then she had her cute little fringe. Yeah. I liked her vibe.
But then the parents debriefed.
Yes, Luann and Dorinda debrief, and Luann's like, she threw ravioli. And he was like, no, oh, I wish I'd stayed for that
one. Did you notice the countess's pajamas?
I thought it was like a pajama top with like regular pants.
No, it was mismatched. That's why it was like black pants with a, because I thought the same thing.
Because, you know, those pajama tops were like in style for a while.
I
hear you. Tell me about the pajamas.
No, they were mismatched. It was a white top with black pants, and the border was the swap too.
That's cute. I wonder where she got them.
I know. That's why I was like, did you notice them?
Link me, Luann.
Link
you. You know how much I love pajamas.
I do. That's why I was like, did you notice them? Because at first I thought it was a pajama top with normal pants.
With like regular like skinny pants or something, like skinny jeans. So Dorinda regrets that she didn't stick around. That's always the worst when you find out that shit hit the fan after you leave.
Yeah, raviolis hit the neck.
Yeah, exactly. A ravioli to the face. Ramona has a lot of questions about who Leah is. And Sonia says that Leah is a loose cannon. And I was like, she's like, well, you know, she got arrested and she got thrown out of school. And I'm like,
I have a problem with all of that.
I'm like, so like, roll the fucking tape. Let's look at all the shit that Sonia's done on this show. Like mere hours ago. Like, I don't understand.
Also, she got arrested and she went to jail and whatever when she was in like high school.
Right. She was like 15 years old or something.
Fuck off. Sonia, yeah. Fuck off.
Like, yeah, I'm like, I'm really not down for like how hard they are on her, how judgmental. I'm also like, it's like Jill Zarin said, she's 35. Like, Leah, there's such a she's big 35. Age gap. Like, Leah's so much younger than them. And what?
To be fair, the Countess and Dorinda both were like, she's so young.
Right.
And I'm not saying that they're like, they're I'm saying like, what Jill's saying. I'm just saying that, like, she's really not that young, though.
No, but she's 20 plus years younger than these women.
Oh, sure.
So for them to be like, I mean, she's just really,
she's what, 10 years younger than Tinsley?
I think so. Maybe a little less. I think, I don't really know, okay. But closer in age to Tinsley.
Who's older than
but that's I just don't fucking understand, like, they're much older than her and they act crazy all the time, and I just don't understand, like, the level of judgment. I really don't get it.
Yeah, that's insane.
So then Sarah coaches Leah through dealing with this passive aggressive group of women because Leah's just aggressive, and then Luann and Dorinda decide they want to continue to sort things through with the ladies, as does Elise. And then Sonia's like, well, you know, we just don't know when she's going to go off like a time bomb. And Ramona's like, if she wants to hang out with us, there's a certain caliber of a way to behave. And I'm like, Ramona, you have made people unpack your bags. You have made people clean up your literal fecal matter on the floor of a hotel.
What?
Yes, they went to Cartagena and they were in a terrible, like, shipwreck almost. And they all got terrible, like bowel issues from it. And Ramona literally shit on the floor and abandoned it and made, like, the people who were cleaning the house clean up her poop off the ground. So she's going to talk about a certain caliber of how to behave. Are you fucking kidding me? You made people clean up your poop. You made people unpack your bags. Like, then Dorinda's like, what do you think, Lou? I can let's hope for the best and prepare for the worst. So then we get a scene with, like, Luann working on her new cabaret show. We get a scene where Leah goes out to dinner with her parents, Brian and Bunny.
Filler.
Yeah. And then we get Dorinda and Luann throwing this tea party to bring the ladies together in harmony. It was called Relax, Relate, Reset. So they're all in these, like, chic outfits and fascinators, having, like, a little Kate Middleton moment.
They were big fascinators, let's be honest. Well, they all took over all of their heads.
But Ramona came in with this little hat looking like she's in the movie, like a little princess.
She had this little, like, that.
Madeline head. She's like, it looked like I'm going to church. And then Ramona thinks, she's like, I think they're trying to throw such a proper event to teach Leah a lesson. I'm like, again, someone cleaned up your poop off the floor. And then they're all sitting there and Leah's like, so Ramona, I owe you an apology. I really didn't want it to get to that point, obviously. And Ramona's like, you disrupted the weekend, but you know, it's okay. All I'd like is for you to say, you know, let's put it behind us. And Leah's like, but I'm not apologizing for who I am. I'm apologizing for what I did. And Luann's like, well, you know, at her house in the Hamptons, which you called out, Sonia was involved in the shenanigans at Ramona's house in the Hamptons.
Sonia was involved. They, like, did, like, a flashback of all these things. Like, I think Luann was like, well, none of us have not done this shit.
Yes.
And it's like, and Sonia was throwing torches.
Yeah.
Skinny dipping, running around naked,
breaking,
like,
shit,
doing the same shit that Leah was doing,
right?
And also Leah cleaned up the next day, Sonia didn't.
Leah's also so, just like, can we call a spade here? Leah's threatening to them because she's very pretty and she's much younger than them.
Yeah,
like, that's what this is. It's I don't know why it took me that long to say it, but that's what this is. Now we've said it.
She's like a tall, like, she has like a model build ish
Yeah. And she's, like, pretty and, like, cool.
She's pretty and she's fucking chill.
Yeah. She's, when you're, like, hot and chill, you're, like, a cool girl. And, like, that is deeply triggering to women that are, like, not chill.
I don't know
how
they accept. Not that, like, she's too, in my opinion, she's honestly too normal to be on this show.
Until she gets hammered.
I know a lot of girls that are just as fucked up as she is when they get
for
fucked
sure
up. Yeah,
yeah, that's not me being judgy, like, oh my god, look what she's like.
No, I'm just saying that, like, a like what I'm saying is, like, her normal sober life,
pretty chill,
pretty fucking
she's pretty
chill.
Level-headed.
Yeah, anyway.
But yeah, Dorinda's like, well, let's not get crazy. We've all had our moments. And we get this epic montage of, like, Dorinda, Ramona, Luann, Sonia, all acting crazy thanks to alcohol at different moments in time. And we were reminded that Ramona threw a glass at Kristen Takeman's face, which I forgot about.
I would argue that a glass is more aggressive than a ravioli.
Yes. glass
cooked or raw.
It cut Kristen Takeman's mouth. It like cut her, like the glass broke on her face.
What?
Yeah.
They didn't show that.
And then Dorinda's like, you know, you're not living in Downton Abbey. Like, give the girl a break. And Ramona does the classic Ramona move of dramatically hugging and tearing up. Like, I'm so really, like, pretending to be emotionally mature. And she's like, you know, I just have a soft spot with her. I don't know what it is. Then Tinsley arrives, looking like a cupcake.
With no hat.
No hat. She's
did
like.
Anyone notice? Did you notice that?
I thought I loved her dress.
She was the only one that didn't have a thing on.
She doesn't need a thing.
Okay, that's true.
It's Tinsley.
She's a Barbie.
She knows how to dress for a tea party.
She's a Barbie.
She's like, being able to dress up and have a tea party and wear puffy sleeves. Oh my gosh, this is just my favorite. I love it. She's like a drunk version of Amy Adams in Enchanted.
Yeah.
She made that dress out of the curtains with the mice.
Totally. Yep.
Ramona keeps stroking Leah and she's like, you know, you touch a special place in me. You really do. And then Dorinda pulls Tinsley aside to confront the fact that she was seen in Niagara Falls with Scott. And Dorinda demands that she tells the group that she's seeing Scott. And I was like, what the fuck is this? How did you feel about this?
I didn't really care other than it was more drama between those two.
It feels kind of forced. I'm like, I don't really get what the argument is.
I wouldn't be shocked if it was a producer that sent her that photo.
Right. I mean, like, the whole Dorinda being like, well, you need to tell the ladies about you and Scott.
Sorry.
I'm like, it's very like Stassi Schroeder being like, you're bad because you're not telling this. And it's like, who's the judge and who's the jury?
I think the storyline, though, this season is like, what's Tinsley's life like? And also, it's a little bit of like Dorinda and Tinsley friction, you know?
Right.
Like, I think that those are just two like things that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite part was the fact that before the tea and crumpets, Dorinda was like, we're going to get all the girls together without alcohol because alcohol is not good for us. But then like 2 minutes later, there's like champagne just busted open all over the table.
Right. I know. You noticed that. I was like, oh my God, you're right. Because Dorinda's like, no alcohol. That's always good. Like, to avoid drama. And then it was just like all the champagne, like sparkling rosé popped everywhere.
Yeah.
So Dorinda's like, I know you're seeing Scott. And Tinsley's like, I'm not seeing him. Like, we flew to Niagara Falls and it was a 2-day thing. And Dorinda basically received a picture from a friend showing Tins in Niagara Falls with Scott. And I was like, who the fuck cares? But Dorinda's like, you know, you don't just not tell us details. You tell us that you're not together. And Tinsley's like, we're not together. And I'm hopeful that it'll turn into something. And Dorinda's like, well, you know, I hope you tell them. So Tinsley like slumps back to the table and tells the ladies. And Ramona's like, oh my God, you're back with Scott Tinsley. Going out with Scott is a huge move in your life. And then Elise has her back. Ramona does too. Ramona's like, I don't really give a fuck. Luann's like, wait. So now that we know, can we know how it went? Just a little like Samantha Jones moment. Tinsley's like, well, I mean, it went well, actually. And Dorinda's like, why are you crying? Tinsley fully starts crying. Because I don't think it's going to go the way I want it to go. And Luann's like, power of the pussy. You got to get in there and call the shots with this guy. And then they all hype up Tinsley. And by the end, she's smiling.
Yeah.
I thought it was sweet.
Yeah.
And I think now she's engaged to Scott. So
no fucking way. Really?
Yeah, I think so. Aww. Algorithmically, I don't see Tinsley a lot. I'm not even sure that I follow her. But
that's so exciting, though.
It all worked out. That was the end of the episode. Next week, we get Ramona, Sonia, and Dorinda having a birthday party. Dale Mercer cries. We have like a little Halloween moment. And that's the that on that. Any final thoughts, honey?
No.
Thank you for doing this with me.
You're welcome. I love you.
I love you, too. Guys, we love you. Thank you so much for listening. Everyone, stay safe. Keep fighting. Stay active. Stay informed.
Stay smart.
Yeah.
Be smart.
Be smart. Keep working. Working on ourselves and hang in there.
Yeah, totally.
All right, we'll see y'all next week. Bye.
Bye.